Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. We have a special guest on here to share his amazing story and what he's doing now. And this is Pastor Roy. Pastor Roy, thank you for joining us.
It's good to be here, Paul.
Pastor Roy, you have a wonderful congregation here in Lake Worth, Florida. But I want to get back into your background because you always in your preaching refer to stories about when you were younger. How long have you been preaching the word?
I've been preaching the word since 1984, 83, 84, right in there. It's been a long time.
Now, you teach the word from the full scriptures, the original and the renewed covenant, which is unique because there's a lot of people that don't do that. Was that something you always done, or was it something that happened later on?
Well, that was something that when I became a believer and in my Christian denomination, we at that time, we always tried to rightly divide. It was known to us to rightly divide the word of truth. And of course, the word of truth is Genesis through Revelation. And I never even thought of or even considered not teaching any part of the whole word of God. It's the word of God, all of it.
One of the major issues that's always been around, but really now people talk about a lot, is who Yeshua is, the divinity of Yeshua. Did you ever struggle with this, or did you know from the beginning like who he was in your understanding?
No, I really believe I've always had a good handle of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and the distinction of the Messiah becoming flesh among us, the Godhead. And I personally never struggled with that, but I know people that have, and some people really get hung up on that. But I just, you know, when you get to the writings of the Apostle John, for example, he makes it very clear that he said, who's a liar, but who would deny the Father and the Son? And the linkage between the Father, who is Spirit, you know, and the Son, the Messiah who came to the planet, they are echad, they are one. And, you know, I have no problem with exactly how God has brought this to us, because this is his message to us, and we need to, you know, pray for that understanding. I know people that have struggled with it. Personally, I don't.
People that struggle with it, I don't think they'd call it a struggle as much as they pretty much deny Yeshua as being anything but like an amazing prophet, or perhaps the Son, but not on the same level as the Father. Do you think this puts them in a very dangerous position?
Yes, I do. Because Jesus said himself, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before the Father. I think that's pretty serious. And I think it's pretty dangerous. And you know, it's interesting that when you read the writings of the Jews, unbelieving Jews of old, they seem to have a real grasp of the Godhead better than a lot of the modern day people that say they're following Jesus, because they didn't struggle with this much at all. They understood the Godhead. That's why they proclaimed Jesus as being a blasphemer, because calling himself the Son of God, they knew that he was making himself equal with God. And that was the real crux of the situation. And the people to come off of that now, you know, it just does. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
And there are a lot of people today that deny Paul's writings. What's your feeling about that subject?
I think that they've got a personal issue with Paul. They've got an issue with God, because God is the one that promoted Paul into who he was. Even the writings of the Dead Sea Scrolls talk about there's going to be this amazing prophet from the tribe of Benjamin that was going to come forth and explain many of the nuances of the scriptures to him. And I believe that was Paul. And I think a lot of that is personal animosity brought on by a lot of the unbelieving Jews over the centuries against him, because he was so stalwart in his faith. He was a true Benjaminite in that sense, that he would tell you the truth right to your face, and it made a lot of people angry. And a lot of people that say that they've got problems with Paul can't really explain why. They just know they're mad at Paul. I love Paul.
Well, a lot of them try to twist the scriptures around and use scriptures that go against the word, and they try to say it's counteracting, which it isn't, in my opinion, but that's what they try to say.
Yeah, he clarified so many things, but the things that he clarified were often controversial in their theological mindset.
Now, one of the things I really appreciate about you is that you understand the spiritual warfare, which is so important. When a person sins, do you think it's of their own will, or are they just following the will of Satan?
Well, it's a bit deeper than that. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You, me, everyone. And sin separates us from God. And it's the blood of Jesus that reconciles itself back to God. And we need to keep our hearts and our lives before the Lord with the blood cleansing us every day. And people that don't do that, you'll find they have a tendency to fall away. And a lot of times they're deceived into thinking they're right before God, and God is nowhere in their life. So sin is something that we can keep a check on through Jesus, through the blood he shed, through faith in that blood, through him. And he keeps us, and he says he'll keep us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. But if you allow sin to dwell in you, you're going to be slowly but surely, and the devil is going to take every opportunity to tempt you and drive you away from the cross of Jesus, because that's what keeps us close to the Lord, is our faith in him and who he is and what he has done for us.
If somebody isn't following Jesus, are they following the devil?
Essentially, yes. Yes. There is no real neutral ground. Scripture will tell you that. If without Jesus, you're lost. And it's very simple, but it's very hard for some people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever, that's a lot of people. And you have to understand that believe in him. If you don't believe in him, you're lost. And the separation is made. And you become part of that separation because of your lack of faith in him. It's all about trusting in Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through him. And he's, people have it just the opposite of what it really is. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. If you don't have Jesus, you're not saved, and that's the only escape that is worthy of for any of us. Otherwise, you're talking about your name not being written in the book of life, and you're talking about so many other things. It's all about Jesus and faith in Jesus. He's the Savior of the world, and that goes for every human being.
So with the sin issue, I look at it one way, but tell me if you agree or not. The sin issue is a sin issue that affects blessings and curses in our lives. The salvation issue is a separate issue. It's you either accept Yeshua or you don't. And hopefully you get your life in order where you're not sinning. But you can technically sin and have salvation if your heart is true for Yeshua. Yeah, would you agree or disagree?
Yes, absolutely. No, I think that's absolutely true. And getting to the blessings and the curses in your life, let's just take one that's very, very in front of us right now, where God told Abraham, those that bless you, I will bless, and those that curse you, I will curse. When you look at what's going on in Israel right now, the very centerpiece of all of that is those who don't know the Lord, they're cursing themselves by cursing the children of Israel, and they don't even see it. They think they're doing righteously by condemning and persecuting the Jew, but yet they're cursing themselves, and they're digging a huge eternal hole for themselves. That's just one example. There's all kinds of other curses that are out there. That's why we need the Word of God, so that we can learn how to walk in the blessing and how not to walk in the cursing.
On the topic of sin, sin, we know, is transgression of the Torah. But we also see in a renewed covenant, it says to know good and not do it to him, it is sin. Mm-hmm. So you could say it goes even beyond that. So when you see somebody like the Creator calls an abomination, like eating unclean food, breaking the Sabbath, these are like abominations. These are sins, according to Scripture.
Yeah. Yeah.
Homosexuality is a sin.
Yes.
The world, the Christian community will judge so harshly a homosexual, but they won't say anything to the Sabbath breaker or the one that's eating unclean meat.
Right.
Do you, with your full understanding, from a sin standpoint, see the difference between a homosexual and a Sabbath breaker?
Essentially, sin is sin. Some are more obvious than others. And what you just said is very, very true. But what we have to keep an eye on is, what does God think of what we're doing versus what man thinks of what we're doing? And a lot of times, homosexuality and all the things that we're dealing with today, that is little sins that have grown into huge sins. The Sabbath breaker, it's the same thing. They don't even understand it. They are taught that you can break the law of God. They don't understand the nuances of what God is really saying and really speaking about the Shabbat. And one sin will lead to another. That is why we need to hear from the Lord. We need to know what the Lord is saying to us. We need to understand the word of God. And it comes down to, do you have the fear of the Lord? Because if you don't have the fear of the Lord, you're not going to be praying. You're not going to be thinking about what God thinks. You're not going to have a desire to understand what God would have for us today. And you're going to get going off in a lot of wrong directions. And sin is sin, period. And really the biggest sin that we can have is not believing Jesus, not believing the word of God. Because when you don't have that, you're going off in your own direction. You're going to be lost. It's just a matter of time, because you're doing what you, when you look at the book of Judges, the line that comes out of me all the time is, they did what they thought was right in their own eyes.
Yes.
And that in itself is going to lead you astray, because what you think, what I think on our own, we're going to be lost. We need the Lord to direct our steps, direct our paths. What most people lose sight of is that Jesus is alive. He's resurrected from the dead. He's real. He's alive. He communicates with his people. That's the essence of my walk with the Lord, and everybody's walk with the Lord, is that I know him. And that's going to be also the essence of people's judgment, because he's going to say, I didn't know you. And it comes down to that. And he doesn't wink his eye at any sin. All sin will be judged. That's why we need him to cleanse us by his blood and help. He doesn't have him help us walk in this world. Because like you were mentioning before, there's a lot of ways that you can sin. And Jesus talked about that. He said, if you even lust after a woman in your heart, you're guilty. So it's you know, his ways are not our ways, and he's of pure eyes. So we need him to help us and guide us through this. He's loving, he's merciful, but he's also just. And his word is going to come to pass one way or the other, whether you realize it or not.
And the word says a lot of different things on the topic, and judgment, final judgment's up to our Creator. But it says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess Yeshua is Yah at some point.
Yep.
So do you believe the people that say, well, everyone's going to be saved because of that scripture? Or do you believe that's not for us to make that call?
Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to me. That's a warning to every human being that has ever lived, that you're going to, and it says in one place, it says in the heavens, on earth, and in the earth. So those who are even in Hades, judged in torments, are going to bow down before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That, to me, that's a warning to you and I who believe. It's a blessing. But to all those that are opposed to Jesus, you will bow down. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of when. Everybody will bow down before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His most ardent haters will bow down before him.
What about the gentle, kind Christian that, because of lack of knowledge, doesn't know about Sabbath, eating clean, or any of this? They'll judge the homosexuals and all the other possibly kind people that, because of lack of knowledge, don't know they're breaking commandments. I mean, what do you say? Like, I mean, we know all sin is sin and it's an issue, but I mean, do you see like them not condemning, but talking or judging? How do you feel about that? Do you think, you know, this is just a topic, hot topic of the day, or do you think it's all putting them in danger?
I think all of us need to be careful not to judge. There are people, most of the people that I knew in the church, and when you talk about the Sunday and Saturday, the Sabbath and the Sunday and so forth, they have no clue. They've never been taught. 100% of their being is that they're right in that. So that God has to turn the light on for them. And the biggest light that I think we have to have turned on for us is we don't need to be judging anybody for any sin. And we need to understand, just because you see something as obviously sinful doesn't give you the right to judge. When you judge, you're doing exactly as wrong as the person that you're judging. And you're not going to do any good with the gospel with that kind of an attitude, because judging stems from the sin of pride. And a religious pride is just as bad as any other kind of pride, perhaps worse. And we see this is precisely how Jesus handled the religious hypocrites in his day, because they were all over everything. I mean, they were into how you do this, how you do everything according to what they thought was right. And they couldn't come off of that, because pride is just as big a sin as any homosexual or anything else. And the nuances, I know that for myself and my family and for the people that I know, the Holy Spirit had to show me to understand the Sabbath. I need the Lord to show, and he did. And you know what? It's a fearful thing, because it's actually one of the commandments, and people have been taught to not even, you know, that it's what they say it is. And it's the Lord. I know the Lord's going to sort everything out, but he's going to do it more about what's in our heart, trying to follow him, than it is the, you know, the nuances of this or that. And we need to keep our hearts right before the Lord.
You see in scripture, I think it says, we know judging and discerning are two similar words, but to judge to lift people up, but not to judge to knock them down. Do you think somebody could judge with a good heart out of a desire to help someone, or do you think all judging is bad?
Well, judging is a general term. We need to be discerning in that. Remember what Jesus said. He said, I don't do anything unless my Father tells me to do so. That's where we need to be. When I preach and the Holy Spirit is pointing me in a direction, I'm going to say what the Lord has given me to say, and I'll live with that, believing that the Lord has spoken through me. And we need to be led of the Spirit in all things. And everything that is not led of the Spirit is going to be carnal. And if you and I decide to go off into our carnality, we're going to be responsible for what we say and what we do. And in our carnality, we're going to be wrong. So it's a matter of humility, really. It's a matter of, Lord, what do you want me to say? Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, where do you want me to go? It's about following the Lord and being led of the Lord. And most people aren't mature enough or have not been taught that, because they think that whatever they hear from the pulpit is right, and they don't even question it. You know, we're to test the spirits to see if they're from God. I mean, think about that. So many things pop into our life, we don't test them, and we just think they're right, and we don't even question it. We can get in real danger that way.
Sure. The scriptures say if a man should not put on a woman's clothes, and a woman should not put on a man's clothes, but it doesn't define what a woman's clothes and a man's clothes is. In history, makeup and high heels were worn by men before they were worn by women.
Yes.
And skirts were kind of worn by both at times. So in today's times, I believe people, men that think they're women and vice versa, the mental illness. you know, something's going on upstairs there. So if somebody walks in your congregation that's obviously dressed in an obvious way, like the opposite sex, how do you handle that? Or how would you handle that?
We've had people that have come in and I've said things from the pulpit and they've walked out. But somebody like that, we have to be merciful, but we have to be truthful. And, you know, and people say, well, they're all judging you. Well, you know, you made a spectacle of yourself as well. So it's a tough situation. I would pray. Number one, I would say, Lord, what do you want me to do here? Lord, what would you want me to say here? How do I deal with this? Because frankly, if something like that happened to me in any place, I'd struggle with it. And most of the time in my world, for example, two guys come up and the guy introduces the other guy as his wife. You know, that's something where in my flesh, I just want to rear up and I want to just, but I've had to pray, Lord, guide my words, guide my steps. And most of the time, the Lord doesn't want me to cause a ruckus, but sometimes I need to say something. And every situation is a little different. If somebody is dressed, if some man is dressed femininely or some woman is dressed masculinely, we have to be really prayerful about that, because what you say is important. And you don't sometimes, you know, who are you trying to affect? As a pastor, if somebody walked in like that, I would not want to talk to them in such a way as that I'm trying to be a big deal before my people. That's pride. That'd be very arrogant, and I could really be condemning that person who may be seeking the Lord. I don't know until the Lord will have to show me every situation. There's other situations where somebody comes at you very boastful and prideful and trying to diminish who Jesus is or one thing. Remember that one principle that I have held to is God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. That's the way the Lord handles it. He resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. Somebody that came in like that, I try to discern what their attitude, were they coming in there just to show me up or show our congregation up? Or were they truly seeking the Lord? That is the real issue in the matter. And I try to go from there. And saying all this, even then, it's a bit imperfect, because until you're in the situation, it's hard to gauge on how you would react to it.
There's definitely some confusion going on in a person's head that's going through that. Now, if a woman is immodest, clearly immodest, because the definition could be loose definition, there's no clear definition in scripture, that might be more pride and vanity than confused.
Yes. So,
do you handle a person that's immodest? And there's definitely more implications, because a man still might be modest dressed as a woman versus an immodest woman can spark fire. So do you handle that situation with the same kind of attitude, or do you handle it different?
Generally with the same attitude, but with a woman that came in immodestly like that, I would go to my wife or one of the ladies in the church and say, you know, can you go talk to them, take them aside, talk to them, and take it from there. And if a guy comes in and, it's kind of the same, it comes down to their attitude. What are they trying to project? And we've dealt with the situation also, of people that are, in a bad place in their life, and they come in, they're a little confused, might be a little insane. We don't know yet till we know them. A lot of times your clothes and the way you carry yourself portray what's going on in your life too. So you have to be very discerning in that. But, it's a one-on-one thing, and I wouldn't want, if I was confused, and I've been confused in my life about things too, I want people to be really truthful with me, number one. And number two, if you've got something to tell me, take me aside. Don't blast me in front of everybody. And it comes down to attitude and so forth.
Okay, last topic, just for time reasons, but I appreciate your time. I love hearing what you're saying. I go to a lot of churches, and there's so much prayer for healing of disease and healing. Now, we understand the clean and unclean laws, but we also understand in the scriptures it says things like the drunkard and the glutton, and we see just, we know, I mean, maybe we don't know, but some foods clearly the demons getting into the bodies of people. Sure. So do you have any kind of level of that in your teaching about, hey, put down the Twinkies. It's not a salvation issue, but we don't want to be praying for your illness. We want you to be healed. Do you ever even go there? So,
you know, we live in a world of poisons right now. And it's like one of you who call good evil and evil good. Right now, when it comes to eating, we're calling good evil and evil good. That's just the way it is, because this is the way our whole culture is gone. And so it's something that some people like you have been called to really waken people up to the idea that you need to watch what you're eating and get your health right. And it's a part of who we are. Health is very, very important for us spiritually and physically. We're triune beings like God. We're physical and we're spiritual. And, you know, you can't leave one off for the other. That's just not wise.
The enemy's having his way with a lot of people because, like you mentioned, Monsanto and all these other things, yes. People think they're doing good, but they're just feeding their addictions to poison, and it's need to talk about it, you know?
Yeah, I think that we're moving into the last days as we are. These poisons have been put out there in such a way that I think there's an elite group of people that want to kill people, and they're using just to do exactly that. When you, the foods, the vaccination, a lot of things, is they want you to ingest some kind of poison into you so that you can stop living.
Well, I appreciate you. I'd love to have you back when we have some more time, but tell everybody where your congregation is and when you meet.
Okay. We are Messiah House. We are in Lake Worth. We're on Lake Worth Road, just east of Lake Worth, or just east of Jog Road, 6295 Lake Worth Road, number 13 in the little plaza behind the Taco Bell. And we meet every Shabbat at 10 a.m. And then I have different teachings on Tuesdays, and we have prophecy hour on Thursdays. And we have a good time, and we're trying to bring people into the light.
And for those of you that are listening that don't know, Shabbat is Saturday. So Saturday is at 10 a.m. Right. Yeah. And hopefully we'll see you there. And thank you so much, Pastor Roy, for coming on here and sharing some information.
Come out of the world. You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida, 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support. Torah Life
Ministry. Hi, this is Pastor Steve Camp of the Cross Church here in Palm City, Florida. We'd like to invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10 a.m. We are a Reformed congregation, and so we believe that salvation is all of grace by faith in Jesus Christ alone and not of works. We are currently studying the Gospel of Matthew expositionally, verse by verse, every week. All sinners are welcome. So come as you are, but leave as he is.
If it's bandaging the broken, washing filthy feet, here I am, Lord, send me. If it's loving one another, even when we don't.